Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 89. On tonight's show, we discuss more Pokemon news, a casting call for Zelda, and get your Nintendo Power Love on at Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 89. On tonight's show, we discuss more Pokemon news, a casting call for Zelda, and get your Nintendo Power Love on at archive.org. Plus, your questions and so much more. Zach, cue the music.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is August... August the 3rd. For some reason, I thought I said October 2016. August 3rd, 2016. My name is Zach Erickson, and this is Nintendo Dads. Joining me tonight, Justin Masson. What's going on?
Oh, hello, Zach. I didn't see you there. Yes. Thanks for jumping in.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good thing... See, when we do Retro Rewind, we recorded it first again tonight, everybody. And so it's 11 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time, which means it's 12 o'clock in the other central place. Speaking of central place, Jesse Weldeck, what's going on, Jesse?
I like to think of it as the correct time zone. Everyone else is just wrong.
Because it is in the central time zone, therefore the center of the universe. Like, of course. Obviously. Then again, for the listeners of the morning stream, you know that Mountain Time Zone is the only time zone that matters.
The only time zone that matters.
So, I mean, that's a thing, too. But anyways, yeah, so we got a show.
should we get into
the news,
maybe?
Should we do a show, man? I don't know. We could do a show, I guess. I don't know.
All right, let's do that.
Maybe that's a thing we could do.
You got a bumper for the news? Or should I tell us who it's...
I'll shut you up with that bumper.
I guess that's a yes.
No kidding.
Justin, what is the news brought to us by?
The news is brought to us by specifically is 1UpBox.com. We appreciate our partnership with 1UpBox.com. Every single month they send this really cool fluorescent green box. We unbox it. There's full of cool, geeky, nerdy stuff in there. Awesome stuff. Exclusive t-shirts. We love it. If you guys want to get these boxes sent to you every single month, head over to 1UpBox.com. Use the promo code NintendoDads. And you are going to get money off your first box. So thank you very much to 1UpBox.com for amazing partnership.
Right on. Yes, thank you, 1UpBox. You guys are awesome. So let's start out. I'm just looking at a bunch of stuff here, what we can start out with. Justin, what is this Zelda casting call? This is news to me, so...
That was mine.
Oh, that was you, Jesse. So okay, Jesse.
Justin probably doesn't know anything
about
it either.
All right, Jesse. Well, let's go for it, man.
So let's start out. The ZeldaUniverse.net is like a news website talking about Zelda stuff. They have a YouTube channel, and some of the videos that they put out over the last year is all the cutscenes of certain Zelda games with voice acting.
Right.
So they did Skyward Sword first. And then they recently finished up. No, I think they still have one act left of Wind Waker.
I had no idea this existed. Oh my
gosh. I just found out about it recently, and pretty amusing. I'm a kind of a collector of these video game movie videos, so I have a collection. But of course, none of them go through the effort of voice acting them. Right. They're just, they just go through the normal spoken text from the game or the text scroll, depending on how old the game is. But this is actually re-recording the audio to just make it stand out a little bit. So they announced, late last week that they're going to have an open casting call for Twilight Princess they'll be starting. So you can at behindthevoiceactors.com, and I can put the link, in the VG Tribune's show notes when I post this. They list like all the characters they want to have voices for. They say they have like 40 characters they want to get actors involved in. And I plan on putting in auditions myself. Then you have up until August 29th, I think. So you have most of this month to put in your to put in your audition, and then they'll decide by the first week in September who's going to get what roles. Then they'll start recording their act one, and they expect recording to go through into next year, for because they normally break these up into hour-ish segments. So they get like three or four acts.
Holy cow! So
before they get the full game out.
Wow. So okay. So this is on their YouTube channel that they have the actual things.
Yeah, the videos will be posted on the Zelda Universe YouTube channel, and if you're interested in trying out for a part, the website is behindthevoiceactors.com.
Oh, so okay, cool. So it's actually. They actually just this is cool, man.
Yeah, so they give you, for every character, they give you a list, they give you lines to read, so you record it using your own audio equipment. You can add whatever effects you want, like Zant with a mask, you might want to put a little kind of a little echoey thing, as bad as Bane from that Batman movie though. So they want you to play with it. They if you think a character should have an accent, they give it the accent, and if they like it, they'll use it.
Oh, cool.
Like Malo, I always imagined him having this really low husky voice, even though he's a little kid. So I'm going to try out for him as that.
This is rad, dude. Okay, so this is looking at the...
Then so record the lines as separate MP3 files, and then you upload them right from that page. And once they're reviewed by... the directors, if you choose to be publicly available, all your auditions will be publicly available for everyone else to listen to and thumb up and comment on.
Wow, this is cool, man. This is really I love this idea. I just love the fact that they do this. This is incredible. So basically they've got three different lines. So for example, let's do a little, okay. You guys won't be able to hear it. Dang it.
Look at Link.
Yeah. Links are interesting, but then you guys won't be able to hear it, but I'm going to do this right now. Wolf Link, three snarls, three barks. Okay. So let's try this. Let's hit this sound button.
Shall we do a little bit of actor's theater and go through and grab like a line from each of them?
Yeah, that's kind of what I got here is that I'm on the website. You can play it.
We've got to do our own impressions.
Come on. Okay, so let's go. I'm trying to remember all the different characters. All right, Louise the Cat. Oh wait, no, that's not gonna work. Mayor Bo. Well, okay, so let's listen to this guy. Now, Elia, there's no need to get so hot with him. Oh my gosh. Okay. That's probably
now, Ilya. There's no need to get so hot with him.
Wow, that was interesting. What else we got? Okay. Anyways, there's lots.
As soon as I saw this, I sent it along to a friend of mine, Kimlin, who I've known for a while. If you don't know who she is, she did the voice of Miss Fortune in Skullgirls. Mm-hmm. And Fidget in Dust in Elysian Tale. Mm-hmm. And several other like Machinima mini videos over the years. Mm-hmm. So I think her as Minda would be really awesome.
Yeah, no, seriously.
But she never replied when I gave it to her on Facebook. So I don't know if she's just gonna, it's probably likely unpaying. So she's probably just gonna pass on it because of that. Mm-hmm. But I think it'd be interesting.
Very cool. No, I love this. This is super cool.
I'll be putting in auditions for just about almost every male role.
Yeah. No, that's super cool.
I just have to have time to record it.
Yeah, dude. That'd be fun. I might actually sit down and try and do that too. I probably will just pick a few, but that's super fun. Very cool.
I'm not going to try out for the links, but I'll try out for other roles.
Let's make sure to get a link to this in the show notes as well for people at just so that we have that available to everybody to go and apply or whatever they want to do. But very cool. Thanks for putting that in there, man. That's very neat. Next up, we have here 13 years of Nintendo Power are now available on archive.org. And oh my gosh, I didn't realize what I was missing in my life until I saw this today. Just now, actually. Justin, did you put this in? Or I guess either was it. Justin, have you looked at this? Have you seen this? You seen this thing here?
I've seen it. Have you seen it? I just, it was sent to us recently, actually. Who sent that? I think it was good friend of the show. Of course, we always have good friends of the show. But this was, who brought it to my attention? It was the good Eric Plunk.
Eric Plunk brought this to my attention. Nice.
Eric Plunk. It looks, I mean, they've got 13 years of Nintendo Power on archive.org. So any web browser, open it up. You can, if it's PDF, if you're using iPad, Kindle, whatever, you have access to it. Like, check it out. It's awesome stuff. It's a great walk down memory lane for the amazing Nintendo Power magazine that it was. It's just so, so cool. I mean, I we've all talked about it. Like, I remember getting Nintendo Power subscribed for, like, until the N64 days. So this is awesome.
Yeah, seriously. I'm looking at the, I'm in December 1991. It on the cover is Samus. It's for the Game Boy version of Metroid. I don't even think it says Metroid 2 yet. I don't know when that game came out. But anyways, on one of the pages here, it says the Game Boy Top 10. And it has all of the different, you know, the different games for Game Boy. Take a guess what the top three are. I don't know if maybe you guys even know these games. The first
Game Boy?
Yeah. Actually, take a guess on the top one, the top game in December 1991, according to Nintendo Power.
Super Mario 6 Golden Coins?
Super Mario Land. I don't think 6 Golden Coins was out yet.
Oh, I was initially going to guess Donkey Kong, but that was 94.
Yeah. So it was, number one was Super Mario Land. Number two, TMNT, Fall of the Foot Clan, which I owned that game, and that game rocks.
So did I.
I love that
game. I always had a problem with the mini game with Splinter, where you
have to
pick in the coins.
Yeah, dude.
Or whatever that was.
Yeah. So TMNT was number two, and then Dr. Mario was number three. F1 Race was four, and Final Fantasy Legend was number five. So very early on, it seems like. So, man, holy cow, there are so many in here. It is incredible. And just do it, guys. Go over there. Check it out. They have all the way up to, where are we here? I'm fast forwarding here. It doesn't even, they're not even in order. Okay, that's great. Thanks, archive.org.
How convenient.
Yeah. So it goes like August 88 and then like September or something. But there's so many here, and I'm really excited to actually go and check this out. Here's one. The Game Boy Advance arrives, and they've got like a whole issue about the Game Boy Advance. So check that business out, guys. Were you guys subscribers to Nintendo Power? I wasn't, so
because
I was a Sega kid, so I never really had Nintendo Power as a kid. I remember the neighbor kid who was a little bit older than me, quite a few years older than me. I remember one day he was like, he decided he'd grown up and he gave me a box of Nintendo Powers that were old and outdated, and I didn't really use them or anything. But I remember getting them and looking over them and thinking they were really cool. But I never had a subscription, so. What about you guys?
I was a member of the Nintendo Fun Club when I first got my Nintendo, which, you know, I think it was every 6 months. Definitely wasn't monthly, but you know, that eventually turned into Nintendo Power. And if they gave everyone who, and the Nintendo Fun Club was free at the time, so everyone who was a subscriber to that got the first Nintendo Power for free, and then you had to pay for a subscription if you wanted more than that.
Oh my gosh, look at this. Game Watch Inside Source for all Nintendo. Look, this is April 2001. Game Boy takes to the air. Game Boy officially entered the new millennium and took to the airwaves with a link to cellular phones when the Mobile System GB went on sale in Japan. The Mobile System GB includes the Mobile Adapter GB, a network software cartridge dubbed the Trainer Cartridge, and access to Nintendo's mobile data center. It's literally, you've got like an old Nokia phone plugged into a Game Boy Color. I had no idea this existed.
I heard about that.
Oh my gosh, man. It's
like using it as like an old school modem.
Holy cow. And it's got like a cartridge so you could like access Nintendo's server. Like the Nintendo had some server somewhere set up to, wow. That is amazing. Very cool. So that, yeah, check it out. It's a whole big thing there. Justin, what about you? Did you have it? Did you have Nintendo Power?
Nintendo Power? Yeah. Oh, absolutely I did. I had Nintendo Power all the way up, like I said, to like the N64. It was my favorite it was the only magazine I basically got it was the only mail I got, essentially. Right? But I mean, I remember, like, you'd get it, you'd rip it open, and it'd be like a poster for Super Metroid, and you'd put it up on your wall, much like the wall behind you there, Zach.
Yeah.
And it was just so much amazing content, right? I mean, it was also their propaganda machine, right? Nintendo's propaganda machine to get hype, but it was so good. And they had that like comic in it every single month. I loved it. I still was buying Nintendo Power up to recently, like when they were still selling them. I would go to the supermarket here and be like, oh, Nintendo Power is out, pick it up. And it was just, yeah.
Nice. Right on. Yeah, I remember I was actually, as a kid, I did do the mail thing, but it was for the Lego Club magazine is what I got as a kid. So, you know, not quite as cool as Nintendo Club, but, or Nintendo Power, but. All right, let's get into some of the news as well coming out. Of course, let's talk about this Pokemon Go update first. Now, Pokemon Go... It's been a rocky, like, it came out of the gates and it was crazy exciting, and they, you know, it's been a little bit difficult lately, but just this week there was an update to Pokemon Go. And for those of you who don't know, there is a feature in the game that at launch allowed you to track the, like, on the bottom right hand of the screen, there's an area where it says what Pokemon are nearby. And initially when the game launched, you could select a Pokemon in there. So let's say, like, holy crap, there's a Dragonite here. You could select it and then kind of use that to, you know, you would start walking and you would watch the step count. It would have initially, if it was really far away, 3 steps. And as you walked closer, that step count would decrease until finally you'd be able to track down this Pokemon that way. Suddenly it stopped working, and so people started using, you know, other websites started popping up, like Pokevision, which we talked about last week, which was a website that allowed you to just look up on a map to see what Pokemon are nearby. Those sorts of websites popped up. And there's been a lot of drama going around since this most recent update, because essentially what happened was they removed the 3-step display, so it doesn't show anything anymore. It just says, here's a bunch of Pokemon nearby you. They also... on the server side, disabled the ability of third-party websites to be able to access where the Pokemon locations were. So Pokevision is shut down. You can't use it. And so especially the hardcore players, essentially what their complaint is now is, well, crap, you took out this feature. You took out the steps. We can't track Pokemon that are nearby. Literally now, if you open it up and you see a super rare Pokemon, you just get to wander around aimlessly and have no feedback to know whether or not this thing, you're even close to this thing. So that's kind of the lead up to what this update is saying here. Pokemon Go actually released this on their Facebook page recently. It says, trainers, as many of you know, we recently made some changes to Pokemon Go. We have removed the 3-step display in order to improve upon the underlying design. The original feature, although enjoyed by many, was also confusing and did not meet our underlying product goals. I would argue that several things in this game are very confusing, but that's just me. we will keep you posted as we strive to improve this feature. Next, we have limited access by third-party services, which were interfering with our ability to maintain quality of service for our users and to bring Pokemon Go to users around the world. The large number of users has made the rollout of Pokemon Go around the world an interesting challenge. And we aren't done yet. Yes, Brazil, we want to bring the game to you and many other countries where it is not yet available. And just today, I think, Brazil has now received Pokemon Go. So it's interesting. Let's just stop there for a minute. The first 2 points, he says, they removed the 3-step feature because they feel like it wasn't working the way they wanted it to work. They wanted to refine it, so they pulled it out of the game for now. Second was they limited the things like Pokevision and other third-party websites because it was actually putting too much of a load on their servers, and so they weren't able to actually release in other countries that they wanted to release in, which I think is a pretty good reason. Finally, he says, we have read your posts and emails, and I'm just going to say, and Reddit. Hopefully they've read Reddit, even though Reddit is a salty, salty place. We've read your posts and emails, and we hear the frustration from folks in places where we haven't launched yet, and from those of you who miss these features. We want you to know that we have been working crazy hours to keep the game running as we continue to launch globally. If you haven't heard us tweeting much, it's because we've been heads down working on the game, but we'll do our best going forward to keep you posted on what's going on. Be safe, be nice to your fellow trainers, and keep on exploring the Pokemon Go team. So, Justin, hearing all of this, I'm interested, what is your reaction to this situation, to what Niantic has said now? With, you know, what is your take on this?
I think Niantic has kind of... this became a very... it's sunk into the zeitgeist of society so quickly that they didn't know how to deal with it properly. Mm-hmm. And now they are kind of in the back kind of treading water portion and trying to work as hard as they can. And they realize they have something much bigger on their hands. I think the pressure of a bunch of other organizations, I think of the money that's being made, I think trying to keep fans happy, but also making a great experience. I think the walls are kind of bending a little bit for them, and I think it's putting a lot of challenges on them. I think it's good to say that they've recognized they're making errors and trying to find better ways to better communicate. But you know, I think it sounds like a development team that's very tired.
Yeah, it does. Like the thing where it basically says, like, again, I think they do sound very tired. It says, we've been working crazy hours to keep the game running as we continue to launch globally. If you haven't heard us tweeting much, it's because we've been heads down working on the game. That to me tells me, like I also saw something on Reddit today or this week of like, yeah, they actually are actively hiring for a community manager. And it's like, oh, that was something they didn't have. That was something they didn't realize that they were going to need, is a community manager for somebody to actually interact with the fans on a regular basis. Like they just had no idea. So it was literally like, hey, you dude who is writing code, go and write some tweets, right? That's literally what was going on, where like that's, they just were not prepared for that. And to a certain extent, I think that's kind of, I don't want to necessarily, like, it's kind of like, you guys should have known, you guys should have a community manager. This is going to be a big deal. It's 2016. Like, let's interact with your fans a little bit here. Let's see how the best people do it. But I also get it, right? Like they were totally off guard, taken off guard by this. It's not like Pokemon Shuffle needed a community manager. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. that, like, this is something that they're still learning with.
Although it'd be awesome if it did.
Yeah. And even like initially there, I saw as well, there was a lot of people who were like, well, if you're going to take out this tracking feature, which is not working anyways, but if you're going to take it out, at least leave those websites up until you put the tracking feature back in the game so that we can still play this game. And the reality is that they were kind of in a situation where they didn't have a choice, because those websites were putting such a load on their servers that they had to stop it. Right. And so mm-hmm. that's even though what they essentially said in some interviews before they took it down was that they thought that it was ruining the fun of the game. And a lot of people took issue with that. But anyway, lots of crazy sort of controversy around that.
I know for me, it enhanced the game.
Which, the websites?
Yeah, having those websites.
No, me too. Absolutely. When that first happened, I was like, when I first found out, I was like, oh, my gosh, this is the best thing in the world. I love this. Please, let's continue to do that. You know, let's have this up. I want this to be a full feature of the game. And they, you know, they took it out probably a few days after I discovered it. And so that's what made me a little sad about it. But it was great while it was around. So
I have a possible solution that I don't think will be adding any server load, because presuming that, you know, when the game connects to the servers to get the Pokemon data, I'm presuming they get their relative GPS coordinates along with it. So they got the Pokemon's GPS coordinates. They've got your GPS coordinates. So the device itself should be able to compute the distance between the two, which I'm presuming is already doing that if nearby is still to be believed to be in order of closest to furthest.
Right.
So why not just give us the distance? Say this is 25 meters away. and then let us figure out which direction it is just by walking in each way. That way we'll be able to track it, and that shouldn't add too much load, extra load on the servers.
I think, honestly, what it is right now is that they've done this too with egg distance. So in the game, right, the distance that you travel is calculated or is used to hatch eggs. And they've actually increased the interval in which the game checks your location on GPS. Like, you get a GPS location, but as far as distance goes, it actually checks it like once every 5 or 10 minutes now. It's kind of crazy. I think it's every 5 minutes it will actually check in to see how far you've traveled and actually look at the distance between two things. Because I think it actually is probably to have that many, as many people as they have playing the game and having it be as often as it is, you know, they playing with those windows of refreshing intervals and stuff like that. Right now for the eggs, it's every 5 minutes. And that's not a good enough time frame for people who are trying to track down a Pokemon, right? And I think that's where the problem is. That's probably why the tracker wasn't working in the first place. So this is a lot of like technical sort of issues and stuff like that. But I think they've created a game that is much harder on their servers than they expected. Like, it doesn't scale very well, the system that they've built behind it. So
if you go back and look at that original trailer that they gave us that ended with the Mewtwo raid, you know,
yeah,
that's exactly what they do. They give them the distance in meters, and as they turn the corner, they see this distance going down until they see that Pikachu.
Well, and that's the ideal, right? Is it's almost like a GPS where it's literally, oh, this guy's nearby, and you're right, in that initial trailer,
They don't have to tell me which direction. We can figure that out. Just give me the distance.
Yeah, or like turn. But in that trailer, it was, oh, I'm in this city. Turn right down this alleyway and keep going. That is in the trailer, right? So, like, that was part of the initial vision, and I think the technical side of it is what's gotten in the way. So, yeah. So that's Pokemon Go. People are going a little bit. Hopefully, things calm down a little. But next up, we have other Pokemon news. Speaking of going nuts, there is a new Coconuts, Jesse. Is that what we're...
Oh, that or the Roger's live reaction video to this news is amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. So Pokemon, there's some new news coming out. We don't usually cover the Pokemon news, but I thought that this was interesting because what they have done is actually... especially the Exeggutor. If you haven't seen the Alola version of Exeggutor, Exeggutor is a Pokemon that is like a palm tree usually. He's got like three heads. It's like this walking palm tree thing.
The evolution of Execute for those who...
Yeah, from the original 150. He's in Pokemon Go. And so in the new Pokemon Sun and Moon games, they've announced that there's going to be the Alola region. Oh, what is that sound?
What's all the background noise?
Justin, what is that, man? Justin, what are you doing? Hello? Did he leave?
Hello?
We're getting some bad, like, rubbing or something from your mic. Anyways. the people on the sound can. The people on the stream can't see your face, but anyway. So basically what they've done is, this game has a different... has some new forms for some Pokemon. So there's like ice forms for Vulpix and Sandshrew. My son right away was like, Dad, is his name still Sandshrew? But he's made out of snow. Why isn't he like Snowshrew?
Snowshrew.
Right? I was like...
That's amazing.
I was like, yeah, actually touche, son. That is a really good point. Why is this snow animal named Sandshrew? That's great. But so Snowshrew and Vulpix... that's what I'm calling them from now on, are ice types in this new game. I'm going to guess that they're each going to be exclusives in one of the games. What's that?
Yeah, the Sandshrew and Sandslash are both Ice Steel.
Oh, right. And yeah, they're Ice Steel.
The Vulpix is ice only, and the Ice Ninetales is
Ice Fairy. Right. And the coolest one is the Exeggutor, which is now Grass Dragon. And he's got this ridiculously long neck. He just looks like a palm tree that you would see in Hawaii. But it's like this huge long neck. And he's got like this tail with this weird face on it. Really cool. what I thought was interesting as well was they showed off some other new Pokemon, which was kind of cool. But the Z moves is the big new sort of thing. So there's been a lot of questions for a long time about, in the Japanese icon, there was these little crystals that you could see in them. And a lot of people hypothesized that it was going to be this, that they were going to be these sort of fusion things where the trainer becomes like the Pokemon or whatever. And turns out it's like a dance move that is based on your type. It's kind of what it looks like a super move. And what is craziest about this is that they are releasing, I put in the notes, Pokemon are releasing a Yo-Kai Watch, which is basically like imagine if you haven't seen the Yo-Kai Watch that that Hasbro has made for Yo-Kai Watch, which is this ridiculously huge Yo-Kai Watch thing for a kid's wrist. Nintendo is now saying, hey, we should do that too. And they've announced that they're going to be releasing a Z ring for Pokemon Go, which sounds like it's something that you would buy at a passion party, but it's not. It's a bracelet that kids can wear, and it will actually link to the game, which is cool. So, Jesse, are you going to be buying a Z ring? Are you going to be buying a Z ring or not?
Probably not.
No. See, I'm looking at this, and we joked about it in the pre-show, but this kid on here, the thug life did not choose, or he did not choose the thug life. The thug life chose him. He's pretty bad A right now.
He's pretty baller.
Yeah, he is. He's pretty amazing. So I haven't shown this to Nick yet, but I suspect that he's going to be like all about this sweet Z ring in that comes out on the day of, on November 23rd. My only question is, I don't know if this is required or if there's going to be any benefit to this or if this is literally just a rumble pack, because that's almost what it seems like to me right now. Anyway, what were you going to say, Justin?
This bothers me. This scares me. And like, I know it's the Pokemon company, not Nintendo, and this goes along with their target audience, but like, I don't want to buy a plastic stupid toy to put on my wrist or my finger to play a game.
Yeah.
Like, this cannot be made mandatory. Like, no dice.
Well, it's not being included in the game, right? It's not being included in the game. You have to buy it separately. The thing that's interesting, like, the only thing that's really interesting to me is the fact that they say there is video game synchronization, which allows the player to feel the full power of the Z move, which...
Do you remember a show called Captain Power?
Captain Planet?
Nope.
No, I don't remember Captain Power. Nope. I remember Captain Planet, though.
But it was like a show where like you could participate and like put this thing on your arm and like move it back and forth and pretend like you were flying in a TV show.
I don't know, but that sounds because amazing.
Like aligned with like sensors and stuff. This feels like it's a really bad idea.
It just seems weird, right? Like it seems like I don't know. It's either going to be one of those things that flies off the shelf because it's just one more thing for parents to buy their kids. It's $30 US, by the way. I don't know if I said that. So it's $30 and it comes with some crystals, Z crystals. It also comes with a little Pikachu figure, but so it comes with three crystals, and then of course extra Z crystals sold separately. Of course, probably of in course. In blind bags, almost guaranteed.
FYI, it was called Captain Power and the Soldiers of the Future.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I haven't
seen it. I think that sounds vaguely familiar now, which is kind of really scary. Oh,
the link is on its way, folks.
All right. Very cool. So that's a thing. I don't know. Interested to what everybody's thoughts are about that. It's definitely interesting. So I actually saw a kid. I was at the mall the other day and I actually saw a kid wearing one of those huge Yo-Kai watches and his arm seemed heavy. I don't know, it was as big as his hand. The freaking Yo-Kai watch was as big as his hand, which probably feels a lot like wearing an Apple Watch. I don't know. So
Shots fired.
It's coming from a Pebble guy, man. I wear Pebble.
You're probably just like weighing it down all the time. Yeah,
see, my Pebble is like, it's like a regular old watch.
So is my Apple Watch, you punk.
Dude, your Apple Watch is like twice as thick as my Pebble. Anyway, I don't know.
Get out of here.
CaptainPower.com. Really? What is this? Is this going to start playing music? No. Okay. All right. Well, let's keep moving into the show. Finally. Oh, this was a stupid thing. There was just two things that were articles that were announced today or released today. The first one about 18 hours ago. Well, I guess it would have been like, yeah, anyways. It says Niantic says it has nothing to do with the Articuno appearance in Pokemon Go. So there was a lady that apparently said that she had gotten Pokemon Articuno, which is one of the legendaries. You know, impossible to get currently. It's anticipated. How are people going to get this? Somebody said that there was an Articuno holding down a gym in like Ohio or Iowa or somewhere.
Small difference.
Yeah. And that basically this lady said, oh, well, Niantic gave me this after I complained to their customer service line and I got it that way. And everybody's like, yeah, BS, whatever. And calling her a liar and general internet harassment sort of stuff. You know, Niantic said they had no, the first article, Niantic says it has nothing to do with Articuno's appearance. The second article released about 5 hours ago says Niantic has admitted being responsible for the Pokemon Go Articuno blunder. So there you go. Turns out it was them. So everybody be nice to the poor lady on the internet who just wanted to have her ice bird. Or something. Yeah. Right on. So that's the news. Should we head into what we've been playing? Should we do it?
I think so.
All right. So that was a little louder than I anticipated. I'm sorry. Jesse, why don't we start out with you today, man? What have you been playing this week?
I did get a little bit more into Tokyo Mirage Sessions. I got about maybe halfway through the second intermission. I think I spent like 3 hours in it, and I probably have another three more before I'm done with it, done with all of the side stories before I jump into chapter three. Okay. And then the rest of my time, but I've been playing more of the Ocarina of Time 3D.
Nice.
I'm running around in Gerudo's valley and the prison area, Gerudo's fortress. And I remember this is the part I probably liked the least.
Yeah.
Probably because I remember very little of it.
Is that the one?
I'm having to fall back to facts to figure like out this, what I need to do.
That's the stealth part of the game, isn't it? Almost like where you're trying to sneak around the fortress and...
You cannot be seen by guards. Most of the guards you can kind of stun and run by them. But while you're doing this, you have to also find the four carpenters and save them. And every time you save one, you fight this one specific Gerudo, which I think is their leader. And then when you knock her down, then she takes off. And then I think once you get to the, if I remember right, once you get to all four of them, and then she, And you beat her for the fourth time, then she accepts you into their tribe, and then and then you're safe to walk around. But I've only gotten two out of the four carpenters saved, and I can't remember where the other two are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's sweet. I love it.
And I do remember after that that I'll have access to the horseback archery range, which I do remember enjoying.
Nice.
So there's a light at the end of this tunnel. Once I get past this rough part, then I'll be able to have fun again.
Right on. Very cool. So Justin, what about you, man? What have you been playing?
You know what? I haven't been playing a lot of stuff. Playing a little bit of Donkey Kong Country, obviously, for our Retro Rewind.
Check that out on Sunday. It should be coming out, right?
Our episode. Absolutely. Doing some more Pokemon of the Go. So today, actually, I have a Pokemon Go update. I am in level 14, I believe, now.
Nice.
Yeah, so I've been, actually, this evening, I took the girls for, like, a walk around downtown Lethbridge, and we actually won our first gym. Beat people in the gym. We had it. I was feeling pretty good about myself.
Did you claim your 10 coins?
I did, and then I kind of, like, refreshed it, and then a moment later, some other guy rolled in. The team yellow, Insight, I guess, right? That's their team. And he freaking destroyed us.
Yeah, that happens. Freaking
destroyed us and put like some kind of creature there with like a 2100 CP. And I was like, well, and then he's like, the guy's like literally standing beside me kind of with like a smug look on his face. And I'm like, I got my two kids here. Like, could you not be a douche about this?
You jerk.
Right. I was like, this little 6 and 8 year old are trying to play. They're pretty excited.
You need to train you need to train your children to cry on command.
I know, like, way to be like a 24-year-old living in your parents' basement, you jerk.
Oh, shots fired.
Shots fired. Shots fired at 24-year-olds, or more specifically, basements, or more specifically, your parents. But whatever, that's cool. So, yeah, it was all right. And then I figured out how to, like, reinforce another gym, so I felt like I made some good progress today. Yeah, so, you know, I'm still enjoying it. I'm still coming back to it, and I don't really know why, but I'm still coming back to it.
I feel the same way. I'm starting to feel the same way because I haven't been playing a whole bunch this week either. I do have something I'll talk about in a minute, but I do feel kind of like, okay, why am I playing this still? The leveling up process has slowed down for me a little bit. I've caught most of the really common Pokemon now, and yep. Now I'm like, okay, now what? Like, am I just going to keep playing this until I have all of them? Or am I going to start seeking them out? I play it now more when I'm out with my son. Even Nick is a little bit more like, he still likes it. I think but he's slowing down too. We're all kind of slowing down in this house.
I'm not able to walk around the neighborhood much. Again, I mentioned last week, I kind of got a bum leg lately. But what if I drive anywhere? I'll normally just load it up, see if anything happens to be nearby. This morning, I dropped my daughter off at school for a band this morning. On the way there, we stopped by the gas station. I forgot I kept the game running while I was driving. I'm hearing it as I park at the gas station. I hear it vibrate. I check it. There are 5 Pokemon spawned.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
2 Oddish, a Gloom, and then 2 Pidgeys.
Wow.
So I caught all 5 of them.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've been playing it still. I hatched a Snorlax yesterday, which was exciting, which was really cool. But again, for the most part, I think that there's a few things that really killed my excitement for it. One of them is that the most recent update, there was a glitch for Niantic has this thing apparently where if something is glitchy and it's not working as intended, they will just remove it from the game. Which, stop doing that. Don't do that. Because that's just
the power saver mode.
Yeah. The power saver mode is completely removed from the game, which I would wear it. Like, I would have it running when I was at work, right? When I was I work in retail for the summer, and I would have it running when I was on the floor, you know, and just every once in a while, I would at least get the eggs, you know, like my egg hatching. But yeah, it didn't happen. So that was weird. And so I'm like, they removed that from the game. And now I'm like, okay, well, I don't really need to have this running now. And it's surprising how any time that you don't like, you don't want to give your users any reason to run away from your game, because in this world, there is going to be something that, you know, that will, as soon as they leave your game, they're being pulled into something else. And I feel like that's what happened.
And it's really hard to get them back in.
Yep. Once they've left, they're gone forever. This is kind of how I feel. So yeah, we'll see. But Niantic is working on things. It's still fun, but it's just I'm not feeling the craving for it as much as I was before. Although we did go to the university and try that out. So the university is a really fun place to do it. So that's me. Justin, do you have anything else that you've been playing before we go into mine?
I started playing our Retro Rewind for the month of August. I started playing that yesterday, actually, and it's something, all right.
That's not the kind of... Now, keep in mind, this is a launch game, right? Yeah, this is a Game Boy Advance launch game, so this is not...
I think there's a lot of things I like about it. It does some good 2D platforming. But I feel like I'm really missing like a map.
Yeah.
Like a map of where I need to be going. because right now I there's no map unless it's buried in the system settings that I can't find it.
Oh no!
But I feel like there needs to be a map to know where I'm supposed to be going, because there's one, well, you know, one of those places where you get to like a spot in a level, you're like, well, apparently I can either go up, down, left, or right,
mm-hmm.
and you just kind of like choose a path and you hope it eventually all kind of like connects. Yeah, I'm at spots where I'm like, I'm still going, and I haven't seen where it connects. What is going on?
Weird. Okay, well, yeah. we'll definitely
see. You're supposed to draw your own map.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Go buy some graph paper, Justin.
Etrian Odyssey, Castlevania.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah, so that's right on. I haven't actually downloaded that yet. I need to do that. I guess what I wanted to talk about, I didn't talk about it last week, but recently I went down and visited my parents and just family down, you know, in your neck of the woods, Justin. And while I was there, my dad actually recently has gotten the itch, the retro gaming itch as well. And I got there and he was like, hey, check this out. And he pulls me into his office and he's got this like little CRT TV. And he's got an N64 plugged into it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this? He's like, yeah, check this out. And he like pulls out, he's got the Pokemon Stadium cartridge there. And he's got the controllers and stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so like me and like I sat down with Nick and we played, and my dad, and we played the mini games. Now, if you've never played Pokemon Stadium, the battles is fun. And like you could bring your own Pokemon in and battle your actual Pokemon from the games and stuff. But the funnest part of that game was the mini games. It was like a little mini game collection, and we played those and it was super fun. So we played those. We played some Pokemon Stadium. That was great. And then he pulled out a Retron 5 that he has there too. And I was like, holy crap. What is, like, I've never seen them before. Well, I've seen them, but I've never actually played one. Jesse, you have a Retron 5, right?
I do. I hate the controller, so yeah. I try to use actually, you know, native NES and SNES controllers if I can.
Yeah.
I actually picked up some old ones so I can play them.
Yeah. The controller is garbage. It's absolute garbage. It's like squishy rubber or something. It's not rubber, but it's got way too much give to it. But we played some. I played some Aladdin for Sega Genesis on there. Well. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Roger, is that
there
you?
There goes our copyright hit.
You know what? Listen. If we're going to copyright hit on my singing, we got an issue.
Yeah, more like Google's got an issue on their algorithm.
Ain't no time for that.
Yeah. So we played some of that. We played some Aladdin, played some like tons of different stuff in there. It was a lot of fun. So, yeah, just a little trip down retro lane. It was a
speaking of retro lane, Zach, did you know that we are getting a vintage video game store in Lethbridge?
What? My dad said that there's a new, trade-in place. I can't remember where he said it was, but.
And it's not too far off from your folks' house. It's up by the Royal Bank on Mayor McGrath, just going a little bit north. It is a retro video game, Blast from the Past. That's what it's called. Blast from the Past.
Yeah, vintage
video game. Is that what he's talking about?
I think so, yeah. I think it's already open, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think it's open yet, but the signage is all up for it. I gotta check it out.
Yeah, I think apparently it's pretty awesome, so. I think it is open. I don't know. I could be speaking out of turn here, but anyway. Should we get into our postman? Let's do it.
We should do that.
All right. So, Justin, while I'm looking up these voicemails here, can you read our voicemails for us?
Absolutely. The voicemails, or, I can't sorry, read, the mail emails, mail I
the
can
emails.
Read.
That's what I sure. meant. That's absolutely what I meant.
Smart. And, of course, our postman is brought to us by patreon.com/NintendoDads. If you're interested in being a Patreon of this or a Patreon supporter of the show, head over to patreon.com/NintendoDads. So this is actually from Chris Price, who is a frequent contributor to our show. And I'm just going to take a quick pause here and give a bit of a shout out to Chris Price and his podcast. He actually had me on a show called All That Is Nerdy. And actually, interestingly enough, we talked about Donkey Kong Country, where they take a game and monthly dissect it, kind of like we do. But yeah, check it out. I did an episode with him last week about Donkey Kong Country. So his question is, for me, mobile gaming has become much more accessible and convenient than gaming at home. What do you guys find yourself playing on the go versus at home? And when you go on vacation, do you pack up? Yeah. Do you pack up the home system and bring it with you? As a separate question, I'm also just playing through Punch Out and can't seem to give Soda Popinski the business in round two. Any tips? Keep up the good work, Chris Price.
Don't get hit.
So I guess don't get hit. Nice. So the question here being, do you guys find yourself playing more on the go versus at home? And when you go on vacation, do you take your system with you? I don't take my system with me when I go on vacation. I take my 3DS with me. What about you guys? Do any of you guys pack it up to go?
I did for the very first time. I guess we've done it twice. The only thing that has ever gotten me to pack up a system is my son really not wanting to miss Splatfest, which happened to be the very last Splatfest. So I packed up the Wii U. I said, we're going to play it for a couple hours on the Saturday. That's all we're doing. But for the most part, like, packing up a system is kind of, it's a bit much for me, honestly. And I feel like with the NX, this immediately makes me think about the NX. And if these rumors are true, or in these leaked prototypes or whatever, if this is true, where it's literally just the console that you pack up and bring with you. Oh, sorry. Oh, my gosh.
We just got two more drinks in that game.
You know, bring the idea of bringing it with you. I love that idea for that reason, but I think bringing a whole console is a bit much for me. Usually it's bring my phone and my 3DS, and I actually still to this day play more on my 3DS than my Wii U. So I don't know. What about you, Jesse? Justin, either one.
Go ahead.
Jesse, why don't you go first?
Okay. Growing up, you know, we actually did this a lot. I grew up in Minnesota. Every summer we'd go to South Dakota, where my grandfather owned an RV campground. So we'd spend a week in his trailer and then, you know, help run the store and whatnot during the week. So, you know, pretty much help him run the shop. And so we would back. This is before we owned an NES. So we would bring along a small TV and our Intellivision system, and along with a few games. So we'd be able to set that up in the trailer and play it. And we didn't have mobile entertainment at then. So that was our really only option. In more current times, I remember doing. After moving to Kansas, I made a trip back to Minnesota one for a holiday, and I remember I brought my PS2 with. You know, the game that we played a lot that year was the original Lego Star Wars, but my son and I, you know, played the same game file, and we eventually unlocked everything, including the invulnerability for a million bits, which I wanted to buy first, but he kept on buying everything else first, so it ultimately became the last thing we bought. But something happened to that memory card on the return trip, and when we got home, that entire memory card was blank.
Oh, so
I'm like, okay, this is the last time I'm doing this.
Yeah.
So I haven't brought a big home console system, you know, on a trip sense, but, you know, but definitely on road trips, I bring the 3DS or whatever the current handheld is at the time. Yeah. You know, I don't drive well on road trips. So my wife does like all 100% of the driving. Mm-hmm. If I try to drive more than a half an hour on the same highway with nothing to look at, I will fall asleep at the wheel. Yeah. So I don't drive on vacation.
Yeah, there was. Oh, you're
so,
just.
So I've got my 3DS with me in the car.
Yeah, you're reminding me of the most ridiculous road trip that I ever had. So there was this game that came out. This was right after high school. Me and three of my friends decided we were going to go on this big road trip down to it was Utah, I think. We were going to go drive. Which was like a 12-hour drive, and it just so happened that. That this game that I was really excited about for a long time came out, was X-Men Legends for the GameCube. came out. I don't know if either of you guys have played it. It's like an RPG with X-Men characters.
I played a little bit of it.
Yeah, and so we were really excited. Me and one of my friends was really excited about it. And so we went and bought... This was 10 years ago, so there's no... You know, the little TVs like this, it was like a... We had like a little CRT TV that fit between the driver's seat and the passenger seat in this little car.
Wait, this is going already.
And... Like, so a little CRT TV and me and my buddy in the back seat playing and like with this GameCube hooked up to the inverter and driving the whole way down. And every once in a while, my friend, it was kind of a crappy old TV, right? Like it wasn't a great TV. It was one that we found that was big enough that we could take it down. And my friend was like, I kid you not. I swear I'm getting radiation poisoning from this CRT. Like, cause it was running. And he's literally sitting right next to the vent coming out of the back, right? And so, like, both of them were just, like, getting nauseated by sitting next to this TV as we played it all the way down there. And then as, like, probably, you know, 10 hours into this game, in this drive, all of a sudden we get stuck somewhere and there is a game-breaking bug. Like, to the point where, like, we're, like, we've saved in a place, we can't continue on. We can't do anything. We literally our game save was completely corrupted. We had to start from scratch. And he was just like, dude, we got to start over. It'll be way faster this time. And he was just like, no, not doing it anymore. Like turned it off, like refused to let us play anymore after that. It was hilarious. But yeah, like a good like 10 hours playing this crappy old CRT hooked up with a power inverter on GameCube. Best road trip ever. This is so bad. So that is don't do that. Just play the 3DS or PS Vita or play it on your phone or something. That was in like 2003 or something that happened. So that was like 13 years ago. Wow, I feel really old all of a sudden now that I said that.
Anyways, welcome to my world.
Yeah, right on. So next up, we've got two different voicemails here. I know you guys might not be able to hear them. I will maybe take some notes in the doc as we listen to it. So this is the first one right now.
Hey guys, this is Ben from the Line Chat. Big shout out to all the patrons that have joined us there. We have great weekly chats about everything from Pokemon to what's going on our personal lives. So if you aren't a patron, then please join. I noticed that none of you guys have been playing or mentioned Seventh Dragon 3 at all. And as I just bought it and started playing through it, I was wondering if any of you had heard anything about it or had considered playing it at all. So far, I'm really enjoying it, but I'm only about an hour in. So any thoughts on the series or, you know, anything you've heard or your interest in playing would be appreciated. Thanks.
Seventh Dragon. Jesse, have you played Seventh Dragon? So first of all, that was Ben from the Line Chat. Thank you. Yeah, Ben, thanks for the shout out for the Line Chat. It's a blast to have you and everybody else in there. It's awesome. So. Jesse, Seventh Dragon, have you seen this?
Actually, I have. The full name is Seventh Dragon 3 code:VFD. No idea what that means, but there is a demo out on the 3DS eShop. I've played most of the way through the demo. It's not really a game for me. It's a.
What would you compare it to?
It is very Etrian Odyssey like. I think it's from the same developers. You got your party of three, kind of similar to Etrian Odyssey. I think they have five often, but you have your party of three, and depending on you're able to pick a class for, and some of the classes are weird. Like one of them is a duelist, and they literally will play with a deck of cards.
What?
You know, so the cards are color coded, so, and you cast spells that not only do you need your mana, but you have to have the right card in your hand to play it. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've heard some good things about it. It just really didn't click with me. Apparently it's very combo heavy. If you can, you know, if you're able to plan ahead, I don't think I got that far into the game to do that. Like, you know, have one person set a trap that the dragon or whatever you're fighting trips become poisoned, which lets another character do extra damage, you know, that sort of thing. So I think the ultimate premise of the game, the way the demo starts is you go to this arcade and you go through like the simulation of a battle. Mm-hmm. And turns out you are really awesome at it. And so you get recruited by this group who wants you to go into real battles. So this is very Last Starfighter-ish, if you remember that movie. And so to fight these dragons, to collect something from the dragons, I think I played this a month ago, so I don't remember all the details. They're collecting something. You have to end up defeating all the dragons in the world to complete this, whatever they're collecting. And when you get to what I understand is when you get into the full game, you're actually given a counter saying there are 140 dragons in the world. And then just you go out and play the game, killing off these dragons. And sometimes you'll fight up fighting two or three at a time. And just like the FOEs from an Odyssey game or Persona Q, you know, these things move along the map as you move. And if you get too close to one as you're fighting one monster, they'll join your battle mm-hmm. and just wreck you. Wow. So that's kind of, if you like Adrian Odyssey, give it a try. It's from the same people. I'm not a big Adrian Odyssey fan, so this game didn't click with me. Again, I never even finished Persona Q. I got about three quarters through and got stuck on a boss.
It looks like it's definitely got style. Like, looking at this game, like one of the things on their website that they're toting is really cool character creation, which if there's one thing I'm a sucker for, it's a really detailed character creation thing. Like, one of my favorite games that I still am really sad that they closed it was City of Heroes. It had like a really good character creator. But it's like they've got cool character creation things and stuff like that. It looks interesting. Like, it's definitely very anime, but it kind of has an interesting, I don't know. I kind of like the style that it has here. So I don't know. I may download the demo. I don't know. We'll see. The one that I'm looking at is Seventh Dragon 3 Code VFO. I don't know what that means, but
yeah, it's VFD.
Oh, is it? Well, that's a crappy font then. They should fix it.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't know. Justin, have you played any Seventh Dragon games? My guess is no.
Actually, Seventh Dragon is actually my favorite of all the Dragon games. Because I assumed
this actually the third of a series called Seventh Dragon? I've never heard of this before until this game.
I think so, yeah.
I am also a big fan of the Pete's Dragon. And
the original or the remake?
That's getting a reboot.
Yeah, I know. It's fantastic. The closest game I have ever played with the title Dragon in it is The Legend of Dragoon on the PlayStation, which was a tremendous game. Double Dragon was also good. Yeah, Double Dragon and Dragoon.
Hey, you know what? Yeah. This Seventh Dragon 3 does have a user score on Metacritic of 9.3 and a Meta score of 79. So that's
not bad at all, then.
Not bad. I may actually have to take a look at that. Thank you, Ben.
All right, the original Seventh Dragon was a DS game. I'm checking to see if it had a US release. No, that was Japan only. Huh. And then Seventh Dragon 2020-2, the second game in the series, was a PSP game.
Wow.
Or there was a Seventh Dragon 2020 and then a Seventh Dragon 2022.
Huh.
You know, 2020-II, Roman numeral 2.
Oh. Very cool. All right.
Assuming those are also Japan only.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yep, right. And yep. So this is the first time it's coming.
They've
to the
done
West.
A terrible job at telling anybody that this game was coming out because I've never even heard about it.
I think it kind of got bundled in with an indie montage, even though it's from Sega.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how that happened.
Weird. Okay, let's get into our next voicemail, shall we?
Yes.
Hey, Nintendo Dad. This is Brendan again. Thanks for the advice. I was trying to find a game that would off the computer for my fiance because she does online grad school. So most of the time I find her jumping off of doing schoolwork and playing some game. And sometimes she gets off, plays longer than she that was my concern for her, and she truly appreciated that I was trying to find something, and we'll be getting that game hopefully soon. And I have a question regarding with the NX hybrid being portable, about playing if playing games with another person.
Oh, did we lose the call? Oh no!
I'm still here.
No, I mean it's actually his call that ended.
So, oh no!
Maybe can I fast forward?
Trying to find something, and we'll be getting that game hopefully soon. And I have a question regarding with the NX hybrid being portable, about playing if playing games with another person who has their portable, and whether or not you think that they will have like download play, or you'll have to have the same game. Thanks again, love the show. Bye.
All right, so let's go with the second one first, the second point first. Do we think that NX is going to have something similar to the 3DS's download play, or is it going to be like a, you have to have your own for multiplayer? What is, how does NX handle the portable multiplayer component?
That's a good question. I think they will probably have the download play.
I think so too.
I think it's really been a key success and component of the handheld market that they've had. And they do, I think especially, and I think for all of us, we can appreciate the parenting perspective of it as well.
Yeah.
Right. The fact that we don't have to buy five different games for our kids or whatever.
Yeah. It was really big on the DS, not so much in the 3DS early on, but there's been two or three games that used it in the last year.
Kind of make its resurgence, right? Triforce Heroes had it. Kirby Planet Robobot had it. I think actually Metroid Federation Force has it too.
Didn't Blast Ball have it?
That's right. What I meant by Federation Force with Blast Ball included, right? So I think we've seen more of it, but you're absolutely right. It was kind of its heyday was in the original DS, right?
You know, I wasn't even considering picking up that Mario Party, the one that's on Nintendo Select. What is it? Island Tour. And then I saw that it actually is download play. And I was like, man, that my son might actually like this if it is download play.
That was absolutely fantastic for us. And we were over in Ireland one of the nights. We kind of had just down night before we're heading over to London. We were quite tired. The girls had brought their DS. I had my new 3DS. And so Morgan had Mario Party, one of the Mario Party games. And so I just kind of took all of the DSs together, quickly hooked it all up, right, installed it so that we were all kind of running the download play. And we all played in the hotel room.
Yeah.
Right, Jody was on Facebook, and we were all playing Mario Party across, and it was really fantastic. I think that's such a valuable asset and tool that they use that I really hope they don't lose that, and I actually really hope they lean into that more, especially if they're gonna kind of be really centralizing their focus to be, you know, kind of one console. I hope that's a really key function that they use, because I think that that's important now. You know, will download play exist for, you know, Zelda, Breath of the Wild? Probably not, but I don't think every game has to have it. But just those like party games totally make sense to have it.
Yeah.
I think I bought Island Tour and never opened it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't surprise me if it's still sitting there in the little wrapped box. No, well, we bought it digitally on my youngest daughter's 3DS.
Oh yeah,
but it wouldn't surprise me if it's still looking like a wrap box.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure the latest, and I know you just mentioned the Mario Party, but I even think the new one they're releasing in September, I think, has download play too. There, Zach.
Right.
So yeah, I
would almost expect that.
Yeah, I think if they don't do it, I think they're going to lose something really very valuable there, because I think it's easy for an organization or company to be like, no, we wouldn't do download play, and just cost people other more money, but I think this is such a great option for them.
Yeah, I agree.
And especially with how they market towards kids with their 2DSs or 3DSs, I think it just logically makes sense. I really hope they don't lose it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's something that they definitely should lean into, and it's a lot of goodwill, you know. Every time I see a game with download play, I'm like, "Oh, you could have charged me for multiple copies, but you didn't." Good on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like the selling point that tips me over the edge of something, but it definitely is like, okay, that's definitely, you know, if I was on the fence, I'm getting much closer to purchasing it based on those decisions.
Yeah. Agreed. Right on. Well, thank you. And as for the beginning, as well, Brendan, we, of course, this is the one where we, you know, he was asking about how do I get a game that my girlfriend or my fiance can play because she plays these Facebook games. Again, clarifying that it was the call was a little bit hard to hear. I don't know. The sound quality was a little weird, but basically what he said was that it was more of like his fiance was saying, sitting down and playing a Facebook game and realizing, oh my gosh, where has the time gone? I needed to be productive on the computer. And so instead kind of separating gaming and like Facebook/internet time, which I think is a huge discussion that we could get into, which we don't really have time for, but just this discussion of like regulating and modulate or, you know, moderating your own video game time. And I feel like we've had a few different people who have talked about that and just asked like, you know, how do you find time to game? How do you, you know, like, how do you not have it take over your life? How do you have time to do this, all these different things, and still have time for gaming? It's interesting. It's just an interesting topic to kind of think about, like how in the world do you not have, you know, if you're playing a game, how do you not have it just take over your life and not let everything else go by the wayside? I think that would be something. So this is, I guess, my call out to listeners. If you have any specific questions or thoughts about that, email them in. We'll make it a topic next week during our postman segment and check that business out.
Yeah. That was actually kind of part of my problem this week, why I didn't have a lot of time to play games, because I wanted to have time to play games, but I just, you know, started watching YouTube video and just fell down that rabbit hole. Oh, this recommends another video I want to watch. Oh, that recommends another video I want to watch. And next thing I know, 2 hours have gone by. I'm like, oh, I wanted to play Tokyo Sessions, and now I can't because it's time for bed.
Yeah, right on. So yeah, we're going to put a pin in that and we'll pick it up next week, because I think it's definitely a bigger topic that's really interesting for sure. So right on. Justin, as we kind of wrap up today, first of all, thank you everybody for writing in and sending in your voicemails. Keep those coming, and absolutely. So NintendoDads@gmail.com, and of course we'll give the phone number at the end of the show. So Justin, what do we have as we wrap up the show here?
Yeah, so just as we kind of wrap up, a couple things to talk about. So the new Retro Rewind for the month of August, our Patreon supporters have selected that we are playing Castlevania Circle of the Moon. So make sure that you download that. That is on the Wii U eShop. It's like $7.50 Canadian, so it's like $4 US, I think. So check that out.
Wasn't quite that cheap, but it's reasonable. It's
getting there. Big shout out, of course, to Adam Leonard from Mega Dads for his checking out his amazing Nintendo Dads commission that he did for us. Check out his work over at megadads.org. He did some amazing Super Mario stuff recently, so do that. And I think those are the big shout outs. We got some guests planned in August that we're just kind of working through the details, and hopefully an interview with a developer really soon as well. So that's actually about it for our shout outs. It's kind of a quiet month as we begin to prepare for the NX and the back half of 2016's game release. Also, because people are beginning to ask some of the questions, we will most likely be planning something special for our 100th episode. More details to come in the coming weeks.
Right on. Holy cow. 100th episode. That's crazy.
Very easy cool. For you to say.
Yeah, apparently. Of course, if you want to follow us on all of the social medias, you can do that, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. You can email us, NintendoDads@gmail.com. Find us on the videos, Twitch or YouTube. You can look for Nintendo Dads over there. You'll find us. Call in and leave us a voicemail, 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Big thanks to OZ Remix for music throughout the show, as well as to Carter Johnson for her amazing artwork. You can check out her stuff over at megacarter.tumblr.com. If you want some sweet Nintendo Dad swag, go over to tiny.cc/Nintendo Dad store, and you can find us over there. That's all lowercase. tiny.cc/NintendoDadStore. And of course, if you want to change the world, go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better. And if you want to download and subscribe, you can go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Justin, and for Jesse, we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.